We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Alana Parker from the Riley County Historical Museum and Ron Wilson from the Huck Boyd Institute. Kansas Day is the theme of our show here today. That's coming up this Saturday, January 29th. And, you know, I think it's neat to kind of hear how Kansas Day kind of began with celebrations across the state. You know, a lot of people take pride in their where they're from. We were talking here just during the break that the museum is involved. They do a little special thing each year with the schools. And Alana, you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. Well, that's what we were just discussing just while we were off the air, just how as a kid celebrating Kansas Day when you're in elementary school, how much fun it was. At least, you know, when I was in school, that was a big to do, was to have a day that was specific to celebrating the state we live in. But it's doing a little reading about when Kansas Day really started as a celebration for students in school. And it was actually in Paola, Kansas. There was a classroom, about 15 to 20 students. And this is in 1877 in a public school there in Paola. There was a group of students, they were studying history, but specifically they were looking at the Revolutionary War. So they had this kind of immense sense of patriotism and pride, and looking at Kansas, its statehood. And so it was this group of students starting in 1877 that the teacher decided they are going to devote an entire afternoon to celebrating the history of Kansas. So of course it spread as different schools kind of caught on. And then here we are today, still in elementary school celebrating it. There were different committees, especially in Topeka, that had a Kansas Day committee to kind of get everybody across the state in schools, kind of on an organized front, handing out pamphlets. In the 1920s, they started dispersing pamphlets on Kansas Day and ways to celebrate and the history of the state. I thought that was kind of interesting. And you can find that. The Kansas State Historical Society has a beautiful website. And there was an article that was published in 1922 that explained the origins of Kansas Day. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So 1877 was when it really started. There was that school that really wanted to note the history of the state and celebrate the work that was done to make Kansas a free state. That was specifically what they were wanting to celebrate.
That's cool.
That's kind of fun. So I don't know if you have any, Ron, growing up in Kansas, if you have any Kansas Day memories from elementary school. I just remember it's lots of sunflowers. You're learning the state symbols and, of course, the history of it specific to the area you grew up in. I grew up in Augusta, Kansas, and went to Little Tiny Circle High School and Towanda Elementary. But we sure celebrated Kansas Day. I'll always remember that.
Absolutely. Great memories. I mean, the earliest days, I remember us coloring a metal arc and the sunflower. Maybe the girls made, you know, put on aprons and made sunflower cookies. But it's a great celebration. And it is interesting that Kansas, which, I mean, I think we're kind of known for Kansas nice. We're not like, say, for example, Texas, where, you know, people might brag. And yet this is a day when we can celebrate our state's history.
Yep. Pretty cool. Yeah. I always like seeing my, daughter bring home the Kansas Day stuff, you know, different papers that they worked on at school. I didn't have the fortune to grow up in Kansas. I grew up in Idaho when I was in elementary school. So our Independence Day was July 3rd, which was funny because day before Independence Day, but, so it was in the summer. We didn't celebrate it during school. So, but it's neat. I don't know if a lot of people can draw the shape of Kansas because it's pretty easy. A lot of those, it's more of a rectangle. But is that something you remember doing, Alana, back in school, drawing the shape of Kansas?
Drawing the shape of Kansas, drawing the cities within in the state. So we had to memorize the major cities and the rivers and the different regions. So absolutely. That's what I had some wonderful teachers growing up, and they really wanted you to take pride in the place that you live. There's when you and that was one thing that Cheryl was always a very strong proponent of. When people know and understand their history, there's a better connection there. and you take care of that. So that's what I think Kansas Day really gives, especially for students, that connection to want to learn more about the place they live and to take pride in it. And like you said, it's Kansas nice, not like Texas. And Texas is great, but yes, there's that having relatives in Texas. It's everything's bigger in Texas, but Kansas just has just a great place to live, and learning about its history, I think, especially for students, it connects them to that, to the place, and helps take pride in that.
And there's some unique places, you know, names of places. We struggle with some of these on the radio from time to time. We have a little cheat sheet that gives us pronouncers on certain things. But there's a river here that runs through the Flint Hills. Not exactly sure where it's at, but it's called the Meredizine. But you read that at first glance, and it does not look like Meredizine.
So. Yes, there's a, and that was the Meredizine. Just, I'm just thinking every time I hear that. That was part of Bleeding Kansas too. Was the Meredizine? There was kind of a massacre that was that occurred out there. So if you're interested in reading about that, I'd look that up. And you can see, as Brandon's talking about, how that's spelled. I don't know if you have that handy there.
It's a French spelling. I think it's M A R A I S, and then D E S dash C Y G N E S. I believe that is how you spell it.
I'm so glad you had that.
That's right, River of Swans or something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah.
But we've got, I actually thought this was kind of interesting. There are some cool facts. I know we focus on Riley County history, but if we have some time, here's 10 cool facts about Kansas that everyone should learn, if that would be kind of fun to share.
Sure, you bet.
And I hadn't been familiar with some of these. Number one is, it's illegal to shoot rabbits from a motorboat. I had not heard that. Helium was discovered here in Kansas in 1905, and that was at the University of Kansas. Wichita's DeBruce Grain Elevator is the longest in the world. It's even the longest after some of it was lost in 1998. This one, Kansas is the home of Pizza Hut, White Castle, and including Sliders, and also icy drinks. So thank you, Kansas, because I do love pizza, Pizza Hut pizza. Smith County, Kansas is home to the geographical center of the contiguous 48 states. We have a church in Hutchinson that's partially made of grasshoppers. So I had not heard that one. Gonna have to look into that one a little bit more. It says the foundation was mixed and constructed during the grasshopper plague. So quite a few of them inevitably became part of it. Dodge City, Kansas is the real windy city with an average wind gust that makes it the windiest city in the United States. There are 27 different walnut creeks that call Kansas home. We're talking about Meredizine. Here's the Walnut Creek, where there are 27 named here in our state. There are over 500 caves in Kansas, but most are inaccessible. Comanche County has 128 of those. And then this one, Kansas has nearly 3 million citizens. So, and 400,000 living in Wichita. So those are some of those fun facts I had not heard of before, especially not sure where that came up about it's illegal to shoot rabbits from a motorboat or how that even works. So thought that'd be kind of fun to share.
I didn't realize there was a grasshopper plague in Kansas at one point. That's interesting.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. It was... there were, you know, think about the state and what we've been through, the Dust Bowl, the Dirty 30s, the grasshopper plagues. I mean, before we really learned about soil and water conservation, those kinds of things, the life those homesteaders dealt with every day, amazing challenges.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, the Dust Bowl is a great example of that. And that was... that was during the 1930s, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, well, just interesting. This state has seen so much in its 161 years, and some, you know, we take for granted, some we don't always think about. I know Ron has another poem he'd like to share. This one's more geared toward Riley County, is that right?
Sure. Be glad to do this poem in honor of Riley County, Kansas. Riley County was founded in 1855 when the state's first 36 counties came alive. It was part of the Kanza Indian Reservation, now open for white settlement and exploration. But when native conflicts caused alarms to be sounded, then Camp Center, later named Fort Riley, was founded. Major General Bennett Riley was namesake of the county and fort, and the military provided strong protection and support. Small settlements began with future hopes to fulfill, Juniata, Palestra, or Palisca, and Canton down below Blumont Hill. Then the New England Immigrant Aid Colony came west as part of the Free State abolitionist quest. They got together as Boston, and when the Hartford Steamboat was grounded, they joined forces and the city of Manhattan was founded. Riley County's borders changed somewhat through the years, but the place would thrive and grow as a place for pioneers. It became a free state advocate of education and knowledge and the home of Kansas State Agricultural College. So we celebrate our history and all the rich bounty of this wonderful community we know as Riley County.
That is a great one. I love that.
Yeah.
And Ron, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Brandon. I just wanted to mention, and listeners can't see, but Ron did don his cowboy hat to do his poetry, and I love it.
Absolutely. That is good stuff. And, you know, Riley County is such a unique county compared to the rest of the state. We have Manhattan here, a lot of the population centered here in the south, and a very rural rest of the county. It's shaped a lot different than if you look at the map. It's really easy to find Riley County. You can't miss it.
Yes. Yep, that kind of shaped like a boot. I've heard some kids describe it. It looks like a boot, but follows the Blue River, and that's how you get that kind of cutout shape there on the east side of Riley County.
And the other key point to me about Riley County, it was the Free State bastion, as Alana said, but education was the other real keystone. I mean, these pioneer homesteaders believed so deeply in education, and they put this really high value on education. And that's been a backbone of Manhattan and Riley County's economy ever since. Was it Amanda Arnold who came on the Hartford and was the first teacher?
Yes.
Here? And the connection with Bluemont College and then Kansas State. So we have some really, really proud heritage here.
Well, you know, we just had the Sunflower Showdown here this weekend with KU and K-State. Of course, K-State, it was not a good game for K-State fans. But, you know, that rivalry goes back so far, and it's deeper than sports, because I know that Lawrence and Manhattan both clamored to have the first university here in the first college, I guess, four-year college here in Kansas.
Yes, and that was Isaac Goodnow. He was really the real instigator for it, for getting education. As Ron said, that was a priority for these settlers that came out here. It was freedom and education and establishing a college here in what would become Manhattan. So even in 1855, as Isaac is arriving and establishing a town site, his mind is focused on starting a college here. And that was Bluemont Central College, founded in 1859, which of course became Kansas State Agricultural College in 1863. And so it was Isaac. I always love thinking about how he would respond if he were to come back to Manhattan today and see what this college, with its humble beginnings as Bluemont Central College, right there on the corner of College and Claflin Avenue, what he would think today and what the college has become and how much it's grown. But I will say that's one question we receive pretty often. Visitors who are not familiar with Manhattan, who come to the museum or into the Goodnow House, College Avenue, they ask, why is College Avenue way out west here, separated from the rest of the university, which where it is today? And that's because that's where the original college was located. And then Claflin Avenue, it was a lot of fun. We were researching and found a letter that Isaac wrote to a man named William Claflin. And this was in 1858. And what he said is, if you donate money to help us start this college, we'll name something after you. William was back in New England, never stepped foot here in Kansas. Initially, the idea was to build a building and name that Claflin Hall, but it looks like they settled on the street, so Claflin. So even something as simple as a street named Claflin there we are able to find its origins back from 1858, and Isaac Goodnow had a lot to do with that. So a lot of fun things like that. We're fortunate to have primary sources to take a look at that history.
And one other historical tidbit at Riley County Historical Museum, I'm sure they have the iconic photo of the original Lumut College. I mean, a single stone building kind of standing by itself in this field. In the United States Capitol, on the house side of the building, they have murals along the corridor between the house office buildings and the house chambers. And they have little vignettes, historical scenes, Lewis and Clark, and I don't know, women's suffrage and different scenes. But there's one that's labeled Land Grant College, and it's a painting, a mural of the Lumut College scene that became Kansas State, the first operational land grant college in the nation.
Very neat. Gosh, yeah. I didn't know that. That's really neat.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, we got to take our last break here on the program, but we'll come back and wrap things up here. Our final segment with the Riley County Historical Museum up next on News Radio KMAN.